Portal Gaming Podcast, episode number 41, is on its way. Portal Gaming Podcast is a podcast brought to you by a store called The Portal, which is located in Manchester, Connecticut. And for more information, as always, you can log on to www.timemachineportal.com. You can check us out on Facebook under The Portal, and you can find us on Twitter under the handle @PortalGaming60. We are also a proud member of the Dice Tower Network, so head over there to check out more awesome podcasts that are on the Dice Tower Network. Howdy, everybody. Welcome to this episode, which I have entitled Captain Solo, Captain Solo, because that's me today. I am Captain Solo. I am your host, The Brant, and I am all on my own. Unfortunately, some sickness has caught up with Brian, so he is not able to be here with me as we were planning on doing episode number 41 with you, so we're going to push that one back. Hopefully, we'll be able to do that soon and get that out to you for next week. So that one, we were going to talk about Kickstarter, which I thought would be a really fun thing to talk about, essentially, since we are a retail store, and how does that work with Kickstarter and those things. And then we also, hopefully, will next time review one of our favorite games, which we found out is getting a new printing very soon, Concordia. So we actually want to give you a full review. Spoiler, it's awesome on Concordia, but we'll tell you some more about that if you're in the market for picking up a new copy. I know there's a bunch out there, but we just thought that'd be a good game to talk about. So bear with me here, ladies and gentlemen, as I'm kind of pulling a Rich Sommer here and going solo, though I guess if I'm rich, I have to do a couple of these and I have to piece things out. Hang on. I'm going to find something else. Okay, I'm coming back. So, yeah, love you, Rich. Love your show. Just a little fun there. So, so bear with me as I kind of switch topics here. I want to talk about my board game Blizzard Bonanza, and I want to talk about some solo gaming that I've been doing lately, and I want to talk about podcasts. Shout out to podcasts that I listen to, which is a whole bunch, and things like that. So this kind of a quick change in plans here, so bear with me, calling an audible, but it's good to talk to everybody out there. Hope you're having a good time. Hope you're getting a lot of games in. Gamma coverage was recently here, so I got to watch a lot from Dice Tower and Board Game Geek and just see all the new games that were coming out and the different things, and definitely some exciting things on there. So if you didn't get a chance, go back and find some of those things and check all that out. I know Brian got to go to Gamma a few years ago. I know he got to demo when Dice Masters was first coming out and a couple things, but just hasn't worked out to make it there lately. So of course I teach full time, so that's tough for me. It's a tough time of the year, and then with Brian running the store, he's not able to get out there. So at the moment, although I know he went out that one year and he'd like to go because I know there's a lot of good things for retail, so maybe one of these years one of us will head our way towards Gamma and have a little bit of coverage for you there. Of course, Board Game Geek and Dice Tower are doing a great job covering all that, so we would just be an addendum to them in terms of all that, but we'd like to bring that to you. Anyway, awesome. Let's roll on with upcoming events. So we want to talk about International Tabletop Day. So International Tabletop Day, the store will be open for 24 hours straight, and that is on April 29th. I know you're going to hear about this every week now leading up to it, but it's a big day for us. It's really exciting. Just a ton of fun things going on. So you definitely want to make your way by the store. If you live kind of outside of our area, you're not in New England and you're listening to us, thank you so much. That's awesome. I'm so excited that you're choosing to listen to our Dinky Store podcast. We have a ton of fun and we want to, you know, bring coverage to everybody. But obviously, you know, it's tough to get to our store. But if you're in the area or you're thinking of being in the area, this would be a great day to stop by. There's just a ton of events, promos, all sorts of things going on, and you could just game for 24 hours. So really fun. So that is International Tabletop Day on April 29th. Sooner than that, we've got the Silk City Board Game Group, as always, that we help out. Jen and Matt over there at the library in Manchester. And we will be there Saturday, April 1st from 12 to 4:30. And there's a whole list of games. Hang on. Now I am doing the Rich Sommer because I'm going to find the sheet. All right. These are the games. New York Slice, Glucks, Ulm, and Vikings Gone Wild. So those are the different games going on there. Actually, I've only played one of those, Vikings Gone Wild. So you could check those out. Those are going to be at the library, so stop on by. That's always a whole bunch of fun. So let's move on to what's on your table. You know what? I will talk about Vikings Gone Wild now that I just saw that, and I'm calling an audible here anyway. So Vikings Gone Wild is a deck builder for 2 to 4 players. I'm trying to remember if the Kickstarter adds a fifth. And so what you're doing is, it's definitely a silly theme. I guess it's based on an app. I'm getting older, and I don't know these things anymore. So there is an app for this, Vikings Gone Wild, but this game is a deck builder, and what you're trying to do is you're trying to amass victory points. So you amass victory points by completing these little missions or quests that you get in the beginning, as well as by attacking other players. And the interesting part there that a lot of people like is when you attack other players, you just get victory points from them. You don't hurt them. And then whichever player you attacked, they can't be attacked anymore that round. So everybody basically gets attacked once. So that's kind of neat. And then it has these little missions, but eventually they run out. So you're like getting a single point or 2 points, and then I think later 3 points for doing various things like, hey, just build this type of building or collect this type of unit or whatever it is. You got 2 different resources. You've got beer and you've got gold, and you can spend these to buy things. So you can spend gold to buy, you know, a building where you could store gold, or you could buy a brewery to brew beer every round, or you could spend beer to hire units. And you can either have defensive units or offensive units. So defensive units would be cards you'd hold in your hand, and when somebody attacks you, you throw it down, a la Dominion, where you have those defense cards, and you increase the power on your buildings to protect them. And the offensive cards would obviously be used to attack the other players. So in that little attack phase on your turn, you can assign, like, I'm going to assign 4 attack to that building, and buildings kind of have a defense value naturally. As long as you meet that defense value, you take down the building, you get points for it, and it's marked as destroyed for that turn. Although that doesn't hurt the other player, it just shows that they've been attacked and that you've done that. And you earn victory points. And the more buildings you attack, the more points you get. It's kind of, it kind of goes up like a series, like a sum. So 1 and then 3 and then 5, etc. So it's more for more buildings. And then each building has a value you get. So the bigger buildings are worth more points. So you're kind of trying to go through those. But when you attack somebody, somebody could then play a defense card to try to boost from there. So that's kind of neat when that happens. So yeah, you're buying these cards, you're adding things out in front of you, you're adding these units to your deck, you're drawing through, you're completing these missions. And then eventually you score, it's like every 5 points that you score, or it's at like 5 and 12 and 20 or something like that, points, you get to add these legendary cards to your deck. So these are really fun because you get like Thor's Hammer, and you get like, you know, some unit that can bring your units out of the discard pile, some mega hero, and some other crazy cards where you can steal all sorts of stuff from people or just get a whole bunch to buy with on a turn. So those are pretty fun. That's a neat addition to the game. Other than that, it's your standard deck builder. It's not very long. We played 4 players. It was probably an hour. Oh, there's a row of cards at the top with random stuff that comes out. And it's pretty cheap stuff. So there's like skeletons to fight to get points. And there's little cards you can add to add 1 to your attack total, like afterward, I think post-defense or something. So there are all these little cards, and they keep cycling through. So at the end of every round, you discard kind of like a Through the Ages or whatever, and then move that kind of down the conveyor belt. So that's how Vikings Gone Wild works. I thought it was pretty fun. Like I said, it played in an hour. I heard some people saying it was replacing other Viking games for them. And I was like, no, not replacing anything else for me. I would play it again. The attacking was kind of fun, but kind of tacked. It's like not tacked on because you have to do it. I didn't like that those mission cards ran out. There was like a thing at the end of the game, too. There's various things you could set up, but it's like whoever's done the most missions, whoever's got the biggest units, whoever has the most buildings. So there's these things that can score a decent amount of points at the end for majorities. So that kind of gives you goals, and those change, which is nice. So every game it plays a little different. But it still felt like when you're attacking, you want to attack with that minimum value, but you've got to know if somebody has a defensive card, which means if you're last in turn order, it's really good in a round because everybody's played their cards. Ah, that's important. You play rounds, and then everybody discards and draws back up. So if you're last in the round, you get the last chance to attack, although you only usually have one person that you can attack. So that works a little strange. Could you only be able to attack yourself? I guess. And you can't attack yourself. So that's interesting. Yeah, so all in all, I thought it was fun. I would play it again, but I'm not itching to get it back to the table. You know, if somebody put it out, I'd be like, sure. But I don't know. Somebody would have to tell me, like, oh, you've got to try this piece to really, you know, get a good take on it, or spin, or go for this, or you were missing this rule or something. But it totally worked. It was fun. Yeah, I enjoyed it. So that's Vikings Gone Wild. So other things to talk about here. We just had this board game blizzard bonanza. So in the Northeast here, we just had a blizzard come through, although it didn't end up being that big in my area because we switched over to rain. So I probably got about 6 inches of super heavy wet snow, but that was supposed to lock us in for a day or two, because it did snow for a solid 12 hours. I mean, snow and rain for a solid, like, 12 to 24 hours. So it was pretty long. But we shipped my daughter off down to my parents, and so my wife and I just had the house to ourselves, so we had some goals with cleaning out stuff and whatnot, but then we lined up this board game bonanza, so we played a whole bunch of different games. So one of the games we got to play was Covert by Kane Klenko and Renegade Game Studios. So we played this way back at Gen Con. This was kind of that famous situation where we were playing and Kane taught us the game, and he had Covert and Fuse, which he also designed, side by side. And Brian, Brian's sitting there, and he's trying to play Covert, which is a decently thinky game. You know, it's a kind of standard Euro, you know, a little heavier than a lightweight. Moves into that medium category. And a decent amount of thinking. And meanwhile, he's got these people just rolling dice, and screaming things out, playing Fuse, and rolling the dice into, oh, and bumping into him. And so sorry, that went under the table. He just couldn't take it. It was just crazy for him. So we play this Covert game. So in Covert, you're all like different spies. I don't know if you represent a country or just an agency or whatever. And you have like your different spies on the map of Europe. And you've got to complete missions. So you're trying to complete 6 missions. When somebody completes 6 missions, the game will end at that round, and then everybody can complete one more mission if they still have things. So the way it works is the first thing you do is you roll dice, and then you assign your dice worker placement style. And what's neat here is there's little rings. And so if I assign a 2, then the next person has to assign a 1 or a 3. And there's some dice mitigation or manipulation there, but not a ton. So sometimes you just get stuck. You can't place dice. And then there's like 4 different categories. So the categories are you could place one to be able to move all of your agents. You can place one to pick up agency cards, which are what allow you to complete missions. You can do one to draw new missions, because I think you start the game with 2. I think you get 3 and discard 1, so you start with 2, and you have to complete 6. So you can pick up new missions, and then there's one to actually complete your mission. So you have to take that action to be able to do that. So you place all of those. There's a couple other places you can draw from a token bag that can give you some of that mitigation or some of the random effects. And then there's some little code breaking that you have to do, which I'll talk about in a second. So you place all the dice, and then you do the code breaking piece. Once everybody's passed, you could pass early. And if you do, you'll go earlier in the round. So you kind of pass around the player tokens like 1, 2, 3, 4. It's a 2 to 4 player game. Then everybody gets to do the code breaking. So there's just a series of numbers laid out, 1 through 6 in 2 rows, and you can swap them. You can actually like swap the first and last. You can swap up and down. You can swap adjacent. And you've got 2 codes you're trying to crack. And if you can get your numbers 4, 1, 6 in a row, then you will crack that code. You'll get 2 points and you'll get an item to try to complete a mission. It's actually an either or. If you use the item, then you don't get the 2 points and you can use that for the end of the game. And you could complete up to 2 of these on a round, and then you draw new ones. You could also assign a die there, in which case you could cover any number. So if I needed 4, 1, 6, but it said 4, 5, 6, I put a 1 there, I could cover the 5 with a 1, 4, 1, 6, and I'd complete that mission. So then you can grab all these cards, and the cards are associated with different regions of Europe. And so if you have an agent there, you can snag those cards. And then you can complete your missions. And your missions typically are have an agent in this city or this region, which might be a set of cities in an area, have these items, or maybe just straight up discard any other card. Those are most of the things. So then you can complete missions. Missions are worth a certain number of points, say 5 to 15 is typically where they are. So the 5s will be easier, the 15s will be tougher. And then sometimes they give you an ongoing ability, like, oh, you always count as having a shoe phone or whatever it is for the rest of the game. So if you need that for another mission, it'll kind of build. So you get a little tiny engine going there. So I had said when we played Covert, like, hey, this is a really neat game and there's some really cool ideas, but what would pull this off the shelf? Why would I play this versus playing, you know, some other medium weight Euro? And I didn't know. I never knew the reason to that, but I heard a lot of good people still saying good things. I'd say Covert is mostly flying under the radar. Reviewers have really said a lot. I know Dan King, it was like his favorite game of the year. Z Garcia was one of his favorites of the year. So they've said good things, but I haven't seen a lot of people playing it. So I snagged the demo copy from the store and I said, all right, let's play this. So my wife and I played it. Boy, was it fun, two-player. I did not expect it. It's so fun when you play a Euro that you just assume is for a whole bunch of players, and you play it two-player and go, this works. Like, Castles of Burgundy works two-player, even though you could play it with three and four. Or, what's leaving my brain? Mombasa, Alexander Pfister. What a great game. So good, and it works so well at two-player, and you just wouldn't expect it because you've got stock tracks and you've got area control on the board. Anyway, this is a review of Covert. So I pulled off the shelf, and we just had a blast at two-player, and it moves and it goes. I got another chance to play it at four, and it was definitely slower and bogged down, but I felt like there was always something to think about. This is one of those games where the rules are not that heavy, and then you're like, go! And everybody's brains start turning. And that's just super fun in a Euro. I mean, that's what people who like Euros, that's what we always like, right? That brain turning. I mean, there's the brain burner, like, you know, pull your hair out game, Madeira, Arkwright, these kind of things that are just so heavy that they just, you know, they're just totally slowing you down. But then there's these medium weights, you know, maybe not an Orleans, that's a little bit lighter in my mind, but a Castle Burgundy with just those good decisions. It's not the mechanics that are super difficult to learn. It's the decisions that are so good. And that's what happens with this game. So we play with four, and then we pulled it out again for our board game, Blizzard Bonanza. My wife picked it. And again, another great game. It was just super fun. And that one I managed to just like complete six really fast, and I think I got the win. But not by too much, because I completed some cheaper missions, and my wife had some bigger ones. So worked that way. But anyway, that's Covert, Kane Klenko. I still don't know why you pull this off your shelf, but it's really fun. And I think the why for me is it's a great two-player Euro. So it's that same Castles of Burgundy. I don't know. For me, Castle of Burgundy is a better two-player game than it is a four-player game just because of time. You just cut that time in half. You get those rich decisions, and you just boom, 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 boom. Once you finally decide what you want to do, as long as that person hasn't drafted the other thing, you can take it. Oh, one more thing. For interaction, you might be saying, where's the interaction, Covert? Well, obviously that dice placement, the cards you're drafting, whether it be the missions, there's a bunch face up you could pull from, or the agency cards are out. But also there's a cool little thing. When your agents move, they leave behind intel cubes. And as other agents move into your spaces, they collect your intel cubes. And when they draw two, they can take one of those agency cards. So there's just a little interaction there that if you're going to the same places, or when you're moving your spies, maybe you don't really need to move one of them, but they're all allowed to move. So this gives you an excuse to move, which I think is just a neat little element. It's pretty easy in terms of that to deal with. So there you go. Covert, Renegade Games. I mean, they're just killing it. Renegade Games. Like, come on. They're just doing such a great job. Clank is amazing. I'd play that deck builder over Vikings Gone Wild any day. So, you know, they're just doing a great job, and looks like even more great stuff coming out. I saw that Flatline game. I'm going off the top of my head, so I'm not doing the typical format here. So just bear with me. Hopefully it's interesting for you guys to listen to. I'm at 19 minutes. All right. So saw that Flatline game. That's another dice roller. It looks a little more complex than Fuse, so we'll have to see where that goes. And then they announced, oh man, Fox. I'm not looking anything up, but they announced one. I think it's Beth Sobel Art, and whew, is this stuff gorgeous. Sorry if it's not you, Beth. And I was wrong. Whoever it is, the art is gorgeous on that one, so... Anyway, we'll keep talking about that. So then, continuing on with our board game Blizzard Bonanza, we got to play Blood of an Englishman, so the little two-player. Hey, another Renegade Games. Little two-player Jack and the Beanstalk game. Really neat. You're just setting out 50 cards, five columns of 10. Jack and the giant are the two players, and you're working opposite. Did I talk about this one already? Anyway, so Jack has like actions where he's trying to grab Beanstalk cards, which are all numbered 1 through 9, and get them in sequential order. Or yeah, just they just have to go in order. They don't have to be direct, so not sequential. Once he stacks up 6, he can grab an item, a goose or a harp or whatever, and put it on top. And if he makes 3 beanstalks and collects 3 items, he wins. The giant is trying to basically stop that from happening. The giant on his turn can literally just remove a beanstalk card from the game. So if that person is like, that, you know, they've got 7, 8, now they need a 9, and you can remove the last 9 from the game, they can't build a beanstalk, they're sunk. And then you can also move like large stacks of them around with the giant. So you try to do that. And then there are cards. There's 2 fees, 2 fives, 2 foes, 2 fums. And if you can get fee, fi, fo, fum in any order, fo, fee, fi, fum, whatever else it would be, in a column, or all appearing at the front of the rows, then the giant wins, which I think is really cool. I mean, the game is not thematic, but that's pretty thematic. You know, that's a pretty fun way to bring in theme. It's not really thematic, I suppose, mechanics-wise, but a fun way to bring in theme. So we played that. I won 1, Kathy won 1. We never played the tiebreaker. Then we played Peloponnese. So this is an old game. This is... it's like Eisenstein. Ah, I can't remember his name. It's like Bert Eisenstein. I don't know. It's a Rotto Top 10 game. Iron Games is his company. Just came out with Phalanx. So Peloponnese is an old game. You're in the Peloponnesian area, and you have all these different cultures, and it's basically an auction game. But it works with 2. So what happens is you lay 7 tiles out. It can play 1 to 7 players, actually. And so with 2 players, there'll be 2 of those 7 tiles that are up for auction and 5 that can be just straight out bought. So they all have a minimum bid. So you make that bid, or if you want to straight out buy them, that's conquest. You have to pay 3 extra coins. So you have coins to bid with, and you can just straight out buy them. And then you bid, but what's interesting is you get 1 bid. So if somebody outbids you, you could then place your bid somewhere else, but you can't add or subtract to it. So you want to make sure you bid enough that you don't get stuck there. And go with that. So anyway, that's kind of how that works. And you're bidding on these tiles. These tiles give you, they're either buildings that give you like bonus abilities, or they're fields that produce resources. And you're producing wood and stone and grain, and then with the expansion, you can make sheep, and sheep are kind of like a wild card, and then you're trying to increase your population. So as you buy these tiles, your population increases. There's some expansions we have with sea tiles that will help feed your people, and all these things. But then another big part of the game is there's these catastrophes that happen, and they're really rough, and they're really tough, and sometimes you can't prevent them. But they're a really neat part of the game. They really are. And so you flip 2 disaster tiles, these little tokens, and there's 5 different disasters, and 3 of those tiles are blank. You flip 2 of these things, and you put them on those disasters. And there's 3 of each little tile, and when you get the 3rd of a type of disaster, that disaster happens. So you definitely can kind of plan. You can see them coming and be ready for that. Sometimes you just get hosed, but that's just how it goes. And so you have these disaster tiles, and you lose 1/3 of your population, 1/3 of your food, your buildings fall down in an earthquake, all sorts of crazy stuff. So it's really neat, and that's a fun part of the game. So we had a good time with that. Kathy totally beat me. I think I had like 27 points, and she had 45. Oh, neat part. Reiner needs you scoring. So you score the lower of your 2 categories. So all the tiles you buy are worth victory points. And then your population is worth separate victory points. So you've got population victory points, and you've got tiles victory points, including you add like every 3 coins gives you a point at the end of the game. And whichever score is lower, that's your score. So you're trying to increase your population, keep that alive, but also increase your points on your tiles and kind of keep those 2 even, which is, you know, that's always a fun thing to do in a Euro. So yeah, this one also played pretty well with 2. I thought, maybe not. Because you only get like 2 of those tiles to auction and the others you have to buy, but they cost a lot to buy outright. So I wanted to try it with more. We actually played it at the store last night, and we played with 6, and boy, did I get it handed to me. Like, I just got the short end of the stick over and over. So 6 seemed a little much. Might talk about it with Brian on the next episode, so I'll leave that there. But that is Peloponnese, an older game. Eisenstein. Darn it. I can't remember this guy's name. But anyway, check that one out from Iron Games. I thought it was really fun. I still think it's a neat game, even though I lost both of them, which is always good to me. If you lose games and you have fun, they're still good. And it moves pretty quick. We added a lot of those little expansions in. It's tough. It's translated from German, so it's tricky, but that was a cool game. So I really want to try that Phalanx one that's out now. Then we played Great Western Trail, always fun. I'm trying to remember. I tried a building strategy. I just couldn't quite get things going. And then, like, we couldn't, with two players, we couldn't get the purple cows out. I'm assuming people know Great Western Trail. I'm not going to explain it. So sorry if that's something you don't know. Yeah, we've talked about it in a bunch of past. We couldn't get purple cows out, which are that top level with two players. You only have seven that start the game, and then you only refill to seven. And we were adding them with our cowboys, but even still, one came out. So I ended up basically having to take two bonus cards that said have purple cows, and I did get them out of my deck, which means I have to score them. So instead of scoring those like 8 points, I lost 5 points. That was like a 13-point swing right there, plus the cows that are worth like five, six, seven. So I lost by like 30 points, but that was a big part of it. Now, granted, I took those bonus. I did not push for purple cows to get out, so that's my fault. I totally take the blame there, but we're starting to think of a variant for two players where, like, you start with three low-level cows, two mid-level, and one purple, which is the high level, and then you flip a seventh card. Just at least have one out there every time, or something, or just even increasing the market to 10 or 13, even with two players, because it's just strange to not have access to those. It feels very limiting. I know the board also can feel limiting. Some people really don't like it, two-player. We have fun. Again, it plays quick. It's one of these games that plays an hour and a half with two people, hour 15, instead of the 3.5, 4-hour games I played with four people. So nice on that front. But yeah, Kathy beat me by 30 there. I do win games sometimes. Scythe! We played Scythe again. We talked about this on the last one. And we really didn't attack each other. Again, another two-player game. And so we didn't go after each other at all, really. And my engine just seemed to build quicker. I played... Man, I'm supposed to know these. I played the Norse faction. Something like that. Representing the Sweden homeland. I'm Swedish. And they can cross the river with their... Darn it, sorry. They can cross the river with their workers, and that really seemed to benefit me. And I got my engine going quickly, and then just managed to get 6 stars. I think Kathy had just placed her 4th star, and I was in the 3rd population tier. She was as well, or popularity tier. And then I just ended up outscoring like 102 to 85 or something like that. So it wasn't a whooping, but it was just that. And it's funny with two because... When you attack, it's fine. Like, you definitely have to attack sometimes to slow people down. But it doesn't really feel like you're getting anywhere. Like, you're losing popularity and taking an action to take a space away for them to score, hoping the end game... It seems strange with two. And I know it's... I don't know that it's really intended to be the best two-player game. We have fun building the engine. It feels very Euro-y with two because we don't go after each other. I don't know. Maybe next time we play, I'll just build a whole bunch of mechs and just try to go crush Kathy and see. I don't think she'll have fun with that because she won't like it. Maybe I'll tell... I don't know. But just to see what happens if I do that and... You know, just see how it changed up the two-player game. But it's still a really fun game. I still like it. I think it was my number 10 of last year. I'd still keep it right about there. I'll talk about some solo plays coming up in that. So there was that. Then I played some other solo stuff that I'll talk about as well. And we had some other little games in there. I'm trying to remember. We were going to play Hamakomoji or whatever that game is, but we didn't have that. Did we end up playing something else? Our daughter came home, we played some Spot It, and you know, I really had a lot of fun with Spot It. It's really, really a fun game. Spot It is just a can of cards and a whole bunch of symbols, and you put a card face up, and you have a card in front of you, and you're just looking for a matching symbol. You shout it out, you grab the card, you flip another card, and then you can do it in the reverse. You can have a hand of cards, and you're trying to get rid of all yours first by stacking them. Super simple, but there's like a ton of symbols. There's like 40 symbols in the game, and they're all different colors, and you're trying to match them up. I know they've themed this a whole bunch too. There's Disney and Marvel and Batman and whatever else. Spot It. So that seemed kind of neat. But man, for a dumb game, it's really fun. We had a lot of good times. And you can just sit right on the floor. You can have music on. You can have a show on. You can just play Spot It. Boom, 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 boom. Just knock it out. So we played several games of that, and that was fun. So in addition, we cooked some food. We did that, and we cleaned out our front closet, which was exciting. We're getting ready to have a murder mystery. We're going to do one of those murder mysteries from a box for somebody's birthday party. And so we're turning our house into a ski lodge, which is great with the blizzard we just got because we actually have all this snow. Because not only do we get a blizzard, but typically this time of year it's 50 degrees in Connecticut. And right now it's the 25 and 30 degrees, so the snow's all here. So I think that'll be pretty thematic. We'll have the snow. I brought in wood for the fireplace. I know it's a board gaming podcast for a store, and this is what I'm talking about. But like I said, we're off format here. So we're getting ready to do that, and that should be a lot of fun. So maybe we'll actually talk about that murder mystery party. Maybe I'll interview some people afterward. We'll see what happens, but that should be a good time. Yeah, and we got Time Stories back to the table. We've got our group rolling. We had done Asylum, a single run of Marcy Case. We've now finished Marcy Case, which was fun. I definitely agree with people. You should totally play it. It just wasn't the best. I mean, I guess of two now. I started Prophecy of Dragons. I really am liking Prophecy of Dragons. It's different. There isn't a lot of mystery in there. It seems more straightforward, like you're just playing it. And there's definitely some replayability. I know people don't like spoilers. I feel like this game's not a year old, so it shouldn't be so bad. I won't spoil still. But yeah, so liking that one. Marcy Case was a little annoying that we had to do a fourth run, and it was definitely a foregone conclusion. And we went through and did the whole thing in like 10 time units, and then, yeah, and then won, and then just moved on. So really excited to have Time Stories back to the table. For a while, it was like, oh my gosh, we have all these ones we have to do, and now we're working our way through Prophecy of Dragons, and there's just two more after that, and I'm like, oh my gosh. It'll be weird to be all caught up if we do actually get there, but we'll see if that happens. So, all right, that's what's on my table. Tell me what's on yours. All right, Captain Solo here today. So I want to talk about some solo gaming that I've been doing lately. So during this board game bonanza, I got a bunch of other solo games in. This is really just another What's On Your Table segment. To hell with the format! Brian's not here. So I'm also just talking to myself. I do have college basketball in the background, and I was excited. I was watching the heavy cardboard stream of Age of Steam with the moon map. So that was kind of interesting to watch. So had those things, but I still feel like I'm a little bit to myself here. So anyway, let's talk about some solo games I played. So I've been excited to try the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shadows of the Past game that just came out from IDW and Kevin Wilson. This is not a solo game, but I solo played it anyway. It is really fun. I don't know who I'm going to play this game with. I can't find anybody to play Imperial Assault with me. And that's super fun. And all these other ones, even Arcadia Quest, we did a run of Arcadia Quest, a campaign, but haven't gotten that back to the table. So I don't know about these Dice Chucker Ameritrash games. I have a blast with them. I'd play them. I'd love to sit down and play this one. So I had fun with the Ninja Turtles one. I'm not going to explain a bunch here because this isn't a What's On Your Table session. But anyway, so I solo played through this, and I was playing both sides. So some neat elements here. So you roll the dice for the different turtles. So you have the four turtles. And then you lay them out, and the dice are like determining actions, kind of like War of the Ring, if you played that. They have pictures on them. They determine your actions. And then you can use one die from each of your neighbors. So they kind of line it up and say, oh, would you like a movement, or would you like an attack die or whatever? And they'll line those up. Except Raph, because we all know Raphael is his own independent soul. So he gets double the dice, and he can use his own. Other people can still share his, but he doesn't share with anybody. Or, yeah, he shares his own, but he doesn't use anybody else's because he's an independent soul. So you get to do these actions and you're attacking, and then you roll dice. It's very, you know, Heroescape or Battle Masters or any of those. I guess even Arcadia Quest, where you roll and you're rolling these dice and they have hits on them, and then somebody rolls a number of dice for defense and that's the block. You know, I still like that mechanic. I know it's not Euro. Well, it's not trying to be Euro. I understand dice, and they could be annoying, and you can roll all blanks on five dice, and it's frustrating, but it just brings that fun element of like, hey, I'm attacking you, so I'm going to roll dice to see what happens. Not, it's a foregone conclusion. Foregone conclusion could be fun for strategy-type game. This is not a strategy-type game. Then on the villain side, the villain has like a deck of cards. They like constructed each game. So whatever characters they have, and they have like leaders, and there's all sorts of different ones. And I don't know a bunch of them because it's based on the comic books and not the cartoon. I used to watch the cartoon, of course, the movies as well. But so you'll have like a leader, Shredder, for example. And then you'll have a bunch of like thugs and punks and whatever else they are. And you shuffle together a bunch of their cards, and there's like different color. And you play two of those cards on your turn, and it'll say like activate two of these, and then roll dice and gain this bonus ability, or gain defense cards, or do this other thing, you know, to the turtles. And you go through. Your health is pizza slices. I mean, the turtles theme is there through and through. So I really had fun with it. I don't know when I'm gonna get it back to the table. I don't think I could play it with my daughter. There's just so many other things I would play. And I don't think my wife would have any interest, so I'm not sure. If you're interested and you're around the portal and you want to try the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game, I'd totally like to play it. So I had fun with that. So that was one of the games I solo. Okay, next game up is Days of Ire, Budapest, 1956. So I was interested in this game. My cousin's wife is Hungarian, and that's where Budapest is. And this is based on like this one-week revolt that was like a leaderless revolution. That Hungary had against the communists at the time. And they historically did not win. They were crushed pretty quickly. But it was interesting, this leaderless revolt against communism that happened. And it was very student-led and all these other things and people that rose up. And so this is a game I played solo. So there's solo rules, there's cooperative rules, and there's verse rules, where one person could be communist and the other players can be the students and the people of the revolution. So I had heard this was like car driven and kind of like Twilight Struggle, which I love. It wasn't like Twilight Struggle. So there's a hand management element. You're collecting cards. I was playing solo. So you're collecting cards, and there's all these events that are going around the board, and you have to move from location to location, and you have to discard cards with the same symbols. So there's like ammo and food and transportation and first aid, and you'd have to apply all these things to these events to stop them. So either you have to transport food from one location to another, or you have to go and feed a bunch of people, you know, who would, whatever. We're not able to do that or apply first aid, and you're clearing up these events. And basically your goal is by the end of that week or 8 days, or each day is a turn. I think it's like 8 days. I can't remember. Sorry. You want to have like a limited number of events in play in order to win the game. So that's your main thing, trying to remove those events. Each time you remove an event, it may put an ongoing ability into play, or it may let you draw more cards, or some combination of get things back from the discard pile, whatever. And then the communist turn is run by a deck of cards that's in there that you don't need if you're playing the verse game, the competitive game. And so there's a whole like support track. And so if support is in your favor, then these cards get drawn and they may give you positive abilities. Or if it's like a card that's on the other side, the communist side, Russian, I think basically, then it would move towards their support instead. So you can kind of, if support's in your favor, then you won't get a lot of these bad things going on. And then there's a whole like move around the board and you get attacked and there's snipers that come after you and militia that will just kind of guard up, or if you're nearby, they'll come to get you. And Soviet tanks that get placed there that could attack you if you try to do abilities. And then the neat part is there's all these, they're not infantry, but they're like fighter. I think they're just fighters, actually. And there's like these fighter tiles, and one you can see and one you can't, and they're inactive, and you can go to that space and you can activate them. And then they all have a unique special ability. And you can use their special ability. So there's some that will just change support to your favor. Some that will help you fight off people in your space, some that will prevent tanks from attacking you when you try to do things, all sorts of different. There's 22 of them, and they're all unique. Then at the end of a round, you'll like place more militia, and you'll get attacked by the snipers and the other militia in your spaces, and you can take a certain number of wounds. You roll dice and determine that. And then also these fighters can take wounds for you. So you might be like, boy, that person with the draw three cards ability is really good, but your hand max is at 12. So maybe you're at 12. So you decide, all right, I'm gonna give them up. They're going to have to take a wound to do that. Really enjoyed this game. I played 2.5 times through now. The halftime was the learning game. lost both my plays. One was really rough because I think I ended up taking like random damage I just couldn't do anything to. And I was so close, or something just said you lose the game. I can't remember. I think it was just straight up, oh, my morale went down. There's a morale track which determines how many cards you can draw at the end. But I really enjoyed this game. So I really want to try to play. I don't know if I want to play it competitive. It feels like a game that's maybe better co-op. But yeah, I really want to try it with more people. And it was really fun. And just learn more about this. I didn't know anything about, I guess I knew about it, but I didn't really know anything about it. It's like one of those things you hear about, but you don't know anything about. So that's Days of Ire. Really good. And that's Mr. B Games. And I don't remember who the like European publisher is. So I apologize on that. What other solo stuff did I get in? Oh, I played Russian Railroads solo. So that was fun to relearn Russian Railroads and get a play of that. And I know I've been promising somebody at the portal that I'd play Russian Railroads, so I need to get that to the table with them. But that was neat. You play against Emil, and it's a worker placement game, Russian Railroads, and I'm playing with the German Railroads expansion. Yeah, Russian Railroads, German Railroads. It's kind of funny. And you can get coal in that, which is really neat. And so basically in the solo play, you just have a deck of cards and you draw and that person will take that worker placement spot from you. And that's really it. But that's a neat game, engine building game. It's crazy. It's like you score 10 points in the first round and then like the whatever fifth round you score, you know, 110 points. Like it's just a huge engine build. So yeah, it's worker placement, but it's really engine building, which is fun. Not the Terraforming Mars engine building. I really like Terraforming Mars better than this game. But it was fun to play that solo. Played some solo Psy. That automata is so neat in that game. Really like that. Like how they tried something unique. The like teleportation around the board that they do is kind of unique. Again, this is one that's driven by a deck of cards and it tells you what to do. Really well thought out. Props to Jamie for like basically, you know, hiring this out, outsourcing this, finding somebody to create a solo play. And it's really kind of a unique experience, and you can up the difficulty. I've currently crushed the first and second level difficulty, like, a lot. So I think I might be doing something wrong, but I can't find what it is. So, yeah, that's where I've been. I don't know that I'm that good at this game, but maybe I am. I don't know. But it was fun to do that. So that was a little side solo. Playing one deck dungeon like all the time. Just love that game. That's super fun. I need to do a campaign of it. It's a little campaign. You can level up your character. And I really need to get that to the table with my daughter. So I've been doing that solo as well. I broke out some Mage Knight and I played that. And then I had to clean it up. I had put it in my basement, but we were going to use the basement possibly. And so I had to clean that up. But I forgot how much I absolutely adore solo Mage Knight. Super duper fun. Yeah, so those are solo games that I've been playing lately, and just had a lot of opportunity. Just, you know, my wife's out at night, and I'm sitting, and sometimes I put TV on when I'm solo playing or whatever, but sometimes it's just music or even just other podcasts. So that will lead us into our next, you know what, I'm not even going to do a break here. I'm just going to keep going. So I'm going to do what I love about ... podcasts. And so I basically just shouts out. I'm going to miss some podcasts that I listen to. I really listen to a ton, but these are just others. So I'll start with Dice Tower Network podcasts, but I'm not exclusive to them, even though we're in the network on going through. So I really enjoy those. So right off the bat, I'll talk about Ludology. Love Ludology. Just love listening to Jeff and Mike on there and just listen to that. And it's just such a unique perspective. Hats off to them for the being the runner-up in the best podcast. I totally think it's well-deserved. I mean, there is so much intelligent conversation going on in there. Sometimes my head is just like, wow, these guys are just so much more into game design and know these things better than me. I feel like a lot of what I know about games is just by feel or just by, you know, playing so many games, but they really think about this stuff. So Ludology is just really good. Really enjoy that. I'm gonna miss Mike. I know he's leaving. He just says I've said everything I can, so I'm moving on. And I can't tell you how many times in my statistics class I've played, you know, Jeff Engelstein Game Tech. clips are just perfect for that. Those little three minute, whatever they are, snippets, and the kids just have loved them and eaten them up. So super good. So I love Ludology. Listen to that a whole bunch. Board Games Insider, so good. Again, same thing, just getting that different perspective, that publisher perspective and game design perspective with Ignacy and Steven. So I really enjoy them. Every time they throw out an episode, boom, it's on. And the speed of the episode is fun. Like, it's fun to listen to them, and they're only 45 minutes, which is exciting. Speaking of speed, Board Game Blitz is a new favorite. Ambi, Cassidy, and Crystal, I hope I got all their names right. And they're on there doing a 30-minute. Welcome to Dice Tower Network. We're super glad to have you, and love the format, love the 30 minutes, doing a great job. And really three different perspectives. Ambi plays that heavy stuff and you know, Rotto style on her throat punch lunch, strategically thematic. Oh no, I can't remember. I'm sorry, Ambi. But you know, she pushes those themes in, although, you know, she did like Arkwright, and I'm like, you know, this is a total thematic game. The theme is boring, but it's totally thematic. So, Board Game Blitz is fun to listen to. Let's see what else is in the network. While I'm talking about Board Game Blitz, got to ask at Our Turn Podcast. I was turned on to them a year ago when I was on vacation and started listening right from the beginning, and they just do a great job. Kathy and Sarah are the main two on there. And just really love their perspective, love like literally their heart for what they want to do. Like, we need more women in gaming, and Kathy just does a great job of going and finding people. And I think Jessica Wade's on there now too. She was on the last episode, and I just love how they're just going out and finding projects by women and publishers who are women and women gamers, and just a great perspective that I just think is so important and so needed. In our hobby, just more perspectives and that female perspective as well. One of the reasons I love having my wife on the podcast, just get that totally different perspective, you know, is neat. So that one is fun. Rolling Dice and Taking Names, listen to them forever. They just, Marty and Tony do a great job. And I'm trying to get them to play Star Wars LCG because they're complaining. In the last episode, they complained all about Destiny. It's too random. There's so much randomness and blah, 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 blah. I think Tony's a little more in favor. And I'm like, try Star Wars LCG. Destiny, they're not printing enough. Star Wars LCG is there. It's a little bit longer of a game, but it's an Eric Lang design. Everybody loves Eric Lang. Play this game. I love it so much. So they're good. Geek All-Stars, another great one. Again, I'm flying through these, but maybe just to give you some ideas. So Dan, Patrice, and Chris Kirkman are on there most of the time. They add all these people. Again, they just, that real, like, chill. Like, it's just them with a microphone. Maybe a little bit more similar to what Brian and I do here. And they just talk. And here's the next topic, and here's the next thing. But, you know, they also do some great stuff, obviously, for the hobby, which is good. And then it's just fun when they get all those other contributors on the episode. I mean, literally, just they're all doing together. And they do those fun, like, they'll do their annual, like, March Madness bracket, which I think they'll have coming up. Or they get Tony and Marty on there, and they do the summer blockbuster movies. So it's just fun to have that twist. Recently, they just did one where they did the top 10 villains. So great job there. Another new to the Dice Tower Network, I don't want to forget Family Gamers. So I've been listening to them. So this is my roommate from college. And I didn't know. And he didn't know I had a podcast. So now we have podcasts about board games, both on Dice Tower Network. So yeah, so this is Family Gamers, and so they are, they're fun to listen to, do a good job on there, and this is Andrew and Anitra, I do know your name, yeah, like I said, my roommate from college, and they just talk about kids' games and other things. Ran into him at New York Toy Fair, as I talked about on that episode, so that's been fun. I've listened to two of their episodes so far, so I haven't gotten super far. Secret Cabal, enough said. Amazing. I think I've tweeted out, like, when a Secret Cabal episode comes out, you just stop everything and you listen. I don't know what these guys do. They're just doing a great job. You know, they've got their campaign coming up, and I totally hope that goes great for them, because that's just well deserved. What they do is amazing, and their meetups are just super fun, and that's had a great time with that. So there's that. A Longview Podcast, a couple times, was it just once that I played with Jeff Gamble? can't remember, but Longview, Jeff Gamble, he does a great job. And just taking that one game and talking about it for a whole episode. I love the Lord of the Rings card game episode because I love that. What other episodes have I listened to? I can't remember off the top of my head. I know he did one on Three Kingdoms Redux, which I'm really excited to play and try. Yeah, really smart guy. And just does a great job with those. Yeah, Dice Tower. Everybody loves it. Eric's from Connecticut. That's it. Dice Tower, they're the king of podcasts. Always good. Oh, I love Dice Steeple. I'm a Christian, and so I love listening to this Christian perspective with other worldviews. And I really think there's some good flavor there that Dan King and Sam Healy have brought to that. So every time that episode comes out, I listen to those quickly and have a great great time listening to those. So that's that. I hope I didn't. Oh, Dukes of Dice. Dukes of Dice. Yes, I'm excited. Love listening to Dukes of Dice. This is great having all these contributors on that they have now, our co-hosts, guest hosts, whatever, since Alex is away. Yeah, but what can you say about Dukes of Dice? I mean, they're just such an up-and-comer, or they've arrived and just done a great job of, you know, that. And I'm so impressed how they do this weekly thing. I am pushing so hard to try to make our podcast weekly, and I think it's going to exhaust me. So we may not end up weekly, but I'm just impressed how Sean gets these out every week and does such a great job. I am stoked out of my mind to meet up with Sean at Dice Tower Con and play Star Wars Rebellion and Codex Card Time Strategy. Both of those we've talked about, and he's just like, I don't know, Sean, if you've only played or if you even listened to our podcast. But if you have played Rebellion yet, I'm hoping that I get to teach you. I think that'll be really fun because it's a great game. And then I know you've played Codex, and that'll be fun because that's a really fun game, and I just want to play that together, not when I can bring in my suitcase, so that'll be good. Rebellion I can't, but I saw they had two copies in the library there, so that should work. Blue Peg, Pink Peg as well, like Secret Cabal, just great showmanship. That's what makes that so exciting, the characters, the people on that show are just great, and just do such a great job, and just bring such joy to my home when I listen to them. So really good there. Okay, other podcasts outside the network. So I was kind of playing on Rich Sommer here, but he does a great job with this Carver one. The phone-in calls, he has people call in, and just whatever's on the top of his head. So that's just really fun to listen to. So check that one out. I just started listening to Brawling Brothers. A lot of people are way ahead of the curve on me here. So they're very interesting. Definitely bring an insight. Very long-winded. but I kind of like that at times. Sometimes it's a little much, but I've been really enjoying them. So that's Brawling Brothers podcast. What else? Heavy Cardboard. Oh man, I tell Edward all the time, like, you are making a heavy gamer out of me just listening to your episodes. I want to try all these. We sought out Automobiles to try that. Arkwright, the Splatterspielen games. Even though I've tried a bunch, I'm going back to them now. Madeira, although I think I was really a Madeira fan before I was listening to that. That was really one of those games I already had. But even like some of these, like the Trial of Louis Riel, which I really want to try, which isn't even a heavy game, but I would do that. I'm now interested in trying Age of Steam, and specifically I want to try 1846, that train game, want to get that to the table. So just amazing job, Edward and Amanda. Tony was on there before. And then just the live streams are doing that. I think I just mentioned earlier, I was watching their live stream. That's really good. Low Player Count, I enjoy. I love listening to the 1 and 2. Of course, I was just talking about solo games, and some of that perspective. I don't know that I always play the same games as them, but I love listening to that one. That one's really interesting. On Board Games. That's another board game, or Dice Tower Network. Yeah, just all the rolling contributors and the different things they do. That one's great. Sorry, not talking a lot. Just mentioning that. Rotto Talks Through. Another runner-up, I believe, voted in. I don't know what Rotto does. This man can just talk, and he can just entertain you with nothing. I know he's so humble himself, he would just be like, I don't know why people are listening to me. Don't listen to me! But he's so entertaining. And even just him and Jen just talking about their life and their beliefs. And I don't even believe in some of the things that they do, or you know, agree. I don't believe, it's way too extreme. But we know some of the things they go off to on political rants and life rants, and this is how things should be. But it's so interesting to listen to. So I think the end Q&A that Rado and Jen do about their life sometimes is so interesting to hear, especially they're on Malta and all that stuff. And they've lived in London and Texas and Seattle and all these places. But then Rado's just always on that cutting edge. She's always given those games up front, games of interest that I haven't heard about. So that's really interesting there. Cardboard Jungle. This do a great job. Anthony and Paul and Matt. Again, three guys, turn on the microphone, start talking. Super interesting. Love these guys. Met them at a ton of different conventions. Played Kalis with Anthony. Met him at Gen Con a couple times. Caught up with him somewhere else. Still trying to get together. I'm hoping to get these guys together at our store and play through some games together, because we've talked about doing like the Cole trilogy. And I'd love to play 51st State with Paul, because I know he loves that game. And Madeira with Matt, because I'm pretty sure, Matt, that you're from Portugal, and I have that correct, or you're at least Portuguese. Apologies if I'm totally off. But I'm pretty sure that's what I remember from listening, so that would be fun to do. Yeah, so Cardboard Jungle, a must listen in my mind. Super great. Then there's the Deep End podcast. I just started listening to this one, so they're another heavy game podcast. Talking about all the things. Ryan Metzler, who used to be Dice Tower Videos, is on there. And Clay from Capstone Games. And Joe Wiggins is the host. And yeah, again, another one that's just pulling me into those heavy games. Again, I don't know that I'm there. I don't know that I'm a train gamer and I want to play four train games a week. Or that I want to play Arkwright on repeat. But just interesting to listen to. And have a great job with that. Married with Board Games is kind of a new one I've been listening to. Lauren Spencer doing a great job on there, so check them out. State of Games is another Chris Kirkman, and TC Petty, and Jessica Wade's on there. I've kind of mentioned most of those people, but they do a great job on that one. And then the What Did You Play This Week podcast thing. And I just think it's so funny that people say, like, oh, the obligatory, I have to talk about games I played. That's why I'm listening to your board game podcast. I want to hear about the games you've been playing. And have they been exciting? And have you seen things like the Evolving Review with Derek Davis? Like, is this game getting better or worse? Should I expect to play this game 5 times and enjoy it? Or will it get boring after 3 plays or 10 plays or whatever? Or, hey, we're still playing this. Or whoever it is. And they just got great contributors on that one. And these segments, some of them, yeah, they're a little much for me. And they're long-winded and the topics aren't interesting. But most of these people, super interesting. Just have a great time listening to that. And that's really what I want to hear. I want to hear what you've been playing this week, and do I want to do that too? So, yeah, those are podcasts that I listen to that I really enjoy. So, take that for what it is. I just listen to a ton. I consume all the time. I listen in my car, stick a headphone, earbud in at work to listen when I'm grading papers or printing stuff out or whatever, doing dishes, just all the time, just listening, just seeing what people are saying. And so, yeah, that's going to end my segment, because I've talked almost for an hour on my own. So, there you go. All right, everybody, that's the end of the podcast. Captain Solo, I'm on my own. Brian will be back for the next one. We will update. Brian, get well soon. I hope you do. He's got a list of all sorts of games that are coming out. I just want to highlight Clank Sunken Treasures, which should be exciting. Quest of Valeria is coming out. I have that Daily Magic Games. I talked about that on one. That was really fun. Vast Crystal Caverns is amazing, so try it. Yeah, and a whole bunch of other things that will be coming out. So there you go. There's your solo episode. Call a little audible. Got this out to everybody. Thanks for listening to me talk for an hour if you got this far. Hopefully I didn't bore you. I have no idea. Brian's interesting. He talks at a slower pace than me. And I feel like I have somebody to talk to. But hopefully this was fun. Here we go with the weekly format. We'll see. Ooh, I've lost it. All right. We'll see how this all goes. So, as always, I appreciate everybody out there. And until next time, this is The Brant. And I hope you step into the portal. Portal Gaming Podcast is a product of Time Machine Toy and Hobby Store / The Portal, which is located at 71 and 60 Hilliard Street in Manchester, Connecticut. This episode was recorded on St. Patrick's Day. Top of the morning to ya. March 17, 2017. Please send any questions to us at portalgamingpodcast@gmail.com. Mortal Gaming Podcast is a proud member of the Dice Tower Network. For more awesome podcasts, visit www.dicetowernetwork.com. Thanks for listening.